I just want you to ask yourself tonight, do I really believe that God is real? Because unless you believe he's real, then nothing else is going to manifest in your life. God said you have to understand that you're never alone. Once you receive him, you're never alone. Because his word says he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Those of you who the Holy Spirit is still ministering to, just let him go ahead and minister to you. Tonight I'm going to teach you on working with angels. Because this is what this revival that God's bringing throughout the land, this glory drop, this is what it's all about. It's all about working with angels. You're going to have great angelic visitations, and you have to understand that how to work with angels. You know, God says, whatever you place your hand to do, I'll do it. And what he's saying is there's an angel working with you. And when you place your hands to do something, that angel does it. You don't do it, that angel does it. But God has to have a vessel that he works through. He has to have a vessel that's willing and obedient. And then whenever he finds that vessel, then he starts working through it. So I don't want any of you to ever sit and think that God can't use you, that God won't work through you, because that's a lie. It doesn't matter what you used to be, it's what you are right now today. And what you're going to be is you're going to be a stronger child of God, doing the great and mighty works for the Father. That's the most important thing you have to remember. What you're going to be is a true child of God, doing great and mighty works for the Father. Amen. Can you all hear me all right? Clear in the back? All right. Revelation 20, verse 1 and 3 says, tells us of the power of one angel. So let's look at this. Revelation 21 through 3. Then I saw an angel, you know, one, coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He, the angel, laid hold of the dragon, Satan, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he, the angel, cast Satan into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. You're running around being all concerned about what the devil's going to do to you. But one angel defeated Satan. One angel. And we're going to find out tonight that we have the angelic host of heaven to call on to help us defeat the enemy at every turn. If we could just grasp hold of this tonight, that just one angel defeated the Satan, what do you think we can do as true children of God? We can defeat him at every turn, but he has us so deceived. He has us believing that we don't have no power, no authority, or we have just a little power and a little authority, but he's a liar. We have all power and all authority through Christ Jesus. Amen? All right, this lady's telling a story, okay? I mean, mine's in here too, but this, I'm reading some of her story. While ministering at the Greater Chicago Church in the Oak Park area, a whole new world opened to me. Pastors Ian and Rachel Carroll had asked me to do a seminar on prayer. See, I'm using her story because it's very important. As I shared about God's desire to pour out his spirit on Chicago, the room's atmosphere changed. As I shared about God's desire to pour out his spirit on Chicago, the room's atmosphere changed. A band of angels came in, and their presence stopped everything else from happening. They were all shapes and sizes, very eager and lively. See, she had to see all this, right? I waited for them to settle down, but they never did. Revelations 5:11. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. Because the angels are around the throne of God, angels carry the glory of God, and the glory began to fall in the room. So why does the glory fall in the room? Because there's angels in the room. And I read one time where Kenneth Hagin said, if you preach about angels, they will appear. So I just thought, well, you know what, we're just going to learn about angels the very first service. Then from then on, we expect you angels, and they are here because God, when we sang the king is coming in, God showed me Jesus walking in, and the angels came in, and they stood along the sides. So the angels are already here, all right? The glory caused an eruption of uncontrolled laughter by the attendees and myself. So you ladies get uncontrollable laughter, so an angel is there causing you to have uncontrollable laughter, all right? I call this kind of laughter inexpressible and glorious joy, and that's in 1 Peter 1:8. After the service ended, I asked Ian about this activity, and he said it was a regular occurrence with guest speakers. So all you that have been sitting under me, every place you go, it should be a regular that angels show up wherever you're preaching. Amen? Come on. He explained to me these angels are on assignment for Chicago. He further clarified that the angels would show up at these meetings, activating around certain phrases related to their mission. What stirred them, he said, would be phrases such as revival or outpouring or Chicago. Those angels were assigned there. And anytime somebody said those three things, they acted up. All right? My little grandson, if you see outside, he gets all excited and runs for the door. So that's what the angels do, you know. The following morning, I woke up and angels were all around me in her bedroom. They were just as excited as the night before, but I discerned we were not on the same page. This is what I want you to get at here, all right? I knew from the Lord I was there to put the sustaining word into this church. Greater Chicago Church needed my story and principles to aid them through future obstacles. I asked for the angels' help to accomplish what the Lord wanted to do there. She was talking to the angels, giving them instructions. Their presence was definitely there as I spoke that day and the next, and we were now in sync. They would get active during the right times, even provide miraculous signs, but allowed me to retain the lead. Isn't that awesome? So you guys all need to understand, wherever you go, the angels go with you. But you don't have to have them have total control and stop the service. You know, in other words, everybody get simple. You can talk to them and say, hey, wait a minute now. I have to give a word. And you've got to straighten up a little bit. Do you ever understand that there's just all kind of excitement in heaven? They're always partying, they're always singing, they're always dancing. And you know, you get a bunch of angels that are that happy. Can you imagine what heaven is like? And can you imagine what would happen if you would get that many angels, you know, a lot of angels in your home, really happy what your home would turn out to be? You know, really, seriously, saints of God, God has been telling me that we are not really understanding what the angels are here to do for us. And I've been teaching this, but you have to understand tonight that the angels are going to be more prevalent than ever before. And you're going to see angels all around you at different times. And you don't want to get all excited and get all dumbfounded. You have to be nice and calm. And understand that they are there to help you do the works that God has called you forth to do. For example, as I prayed, well, what I said was they would get active during the right times, even provide miraculous signs, but allowed me to retain the lead. For example, as I prayed for the group to receive an anointing to see into the spirit realm, which is in 2 Kings 6:17, one woman received even more than that. She was healed instantly of nearsightedness and no longer needed her glasses. This miracle raised the faith level of the room to receive the anointing for spiritual sight. See, so she called forth an anointing, but the angels then even went beyond what she called for and caused a miracle to happen. Some might not understand us working with and even giving some request or direction to angels and might call that quenching the spirit, but it's really connected to our priestly and kingly roles on earth, which is in Revelation 5:10. Now, you know, don't go so far to really quench the spirit. You'd be working with the angels so the spirit isn't quenched, because we often see people quench the spirit. And that's not a good thing at all. Then God can't do what he wants to do. We have to remember we are spirit beings, And spirit is calling unto spirit. And God is calling deep unto deep. And we are supposed to be walking in the spirit continually 24/7 so that then we can do the things in the spiritual realm. We are supposed to be walking in the supernatural realm. God does not want us to walk here in this earthly realm. By that I mean, yes, we do walk this earth, but yet our spirits are up there in the supernatural realm getting directions from God and working with the angels. Psalm 115:16, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Angels remain, I'm sorry, did I get ahead of myself then? I'm sorry, Hebrews 1 is where I'm at, right? Hebrews 1:13-14. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? In other words, the angels are sent to minister for us and to us. Now I want you to get that tonight. The angels are sent here to minister for us and to us. It doesn't matter what danger you may be in. You know, if you call upon the angels, they will come and keep you safe. In fact, before you ever leave the house or get out of bed, you should call upon the angels to come and minister to you that day and to keep you safe. Don't wait till danger arises and say, oh, I got to call on an angel today. You do it before you get out of bed. Angels are not on their own charge. They are assigned to serve humans and not the other way around. Psalm 115:16, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Angels remain mighty and powerful by nature, but we are still earth leaders. Angels are not off limits to us, and we can work with them within biblical boundaries. There are so many books written about angels. We have done so much teaching here in 30 years about angels. But if you don't understand angels, then you need to go buy a book about angels. God has, we had a picture when we first started in our home where, you know, one of the people in the Bible saw the heavens open and the angels were ascending and descending. And one time in the house church, I looked up to my left and here was a ladder coming down from heaven. And the angel, we looked for that picture and couldn't find it. We had it just the other day. But the angels were coming down. And the angels were going up. And we had miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Because those angels were constantly bringing the miracles down from heaven. Going back up and getting new miracles. And just, it was just a miracle working time for quite a few years. So that's what we need again. We need to work with the angels. I'm hearing God said they are on assignment. Each one of you have angels assigned to you to assist you in whatever role you ask them to play. All right? God's done a lot of speaking here tonight, so please heed what God's saying to you. You can ask the Father to send his angels. Judas had just betrayed Jesus. As the officers came to arrest him, Peter drew his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. Jesus healed the man's ear and then rebuked Peter. He said in Matthew 26:53, do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Come on. This is one of those passages that is not direct instruction, but provides insight into things we can ask our Heavenly Father. You know, if you get desperate enough, believe me, you will call upon the angels. If you're warring and warring and warring and warring and you're wearing out warring, you will finally decide, okay, I think I'll just try what God said and call upon those angels. And the minute you call upon those angels, they'll start fighting that battle for you and you'll become at perfect peace and perfect rest. I know. I've been there. I've done it. I'm not telling you something that's not a fact. This is one of the, I'm sorry, Jesus could ask for armies of angels to assist him if needed. If he could ask for angels, then we can too. John 14:12 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. So if Jesus called upon angels, then we're allowed to call upon angels. The Bible tells us that whatever Jesus did, we are to do also, doesn't it? He called upon the, some of you, that you, this is, I can feel in my spirit, some of this is a little foreign to you. You're not quite grasping this. This is of God. God wants you to understand about angels. He's setting the scene tonight for the rest of the revival, because he's going to be sending the angels into this room, and you're going to have to understand what's going on. That's simple. The word is not complicated, neither is God. He's very simple. We can ask the Father to send them on assignment for things we know they already do, to protect, to fight, to guide, and to provide, and so forth. Regardless, Jesus did not ask for the angels that day because it was not the will of his Father to be saved from the cross. We have to understand that too. There are times we have to know what the will of the Father is. There's a time to call on the angels and a time to just say, Father, your will be done. Asking the Father for angels then needs to be aligned to the Word of God and the will of God. Angels will carry out their assignments, but the details can be negotiated. You hearing that? During his residency in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot had received two angels into his home. You can read about that in Genesis 19. The angels had come on assignment from God to rescue Lot and his family before he destroyed the city for his abominable wickedness. The angels gave Lot specific instructions. And this was his instructions from the angel. Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. That was what the angels told him to do. You know, as you read the Old Testament, there was angels all the time going to God's people and giving them assignments. I mean, telling them what God was saying from the throne of grace. And even now, in these days, some of the great prophets who have gone and be with the Father right now, the angels will come into their bedrooms, sit on their bed, on a rocking chair, whatever, and give them instruction on what they were supposed to do. So why is that so weird that God's telling us right now to do it now? There's nothing new under the sun. Isn't that what Solomon said? If you really read the word, you'll find out that history is repeating itself around and around and around and around and around. Now is the time that God is going to send the angels to do a great and a mighty works for his people. Lot had a different idea, however. Lot says, I can't flee to the mountains. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. Lot understood that staying in Sodom and Gomorrah was not an option. He did perceive that his destination was negotiable, and the angels accepted Lot's change of plans. 2 Samuel 24:15-17. So the Lord sent a plague. Okay, well, let's just finish that here. So then the angel allowed Lot to go to that small town, Zoar. And then after they got into Zoar, then the angels destroyed two cities. In America, real soon, there's going to be two cities destroyed in one night. God's been giving me that scripture in the Bible for a couple of years now. And I read an article today, and they were talking about what God's going to do. And at the bottom of the article, it said it's not only going to be one city destroyed, but it's going to be two. There's great destruction coming upon America, but America's not lost, but there is great destruction coming upon America. And this is why God's bringing revival right now, because the days are dark. I liked what Brother Chris put up on the screen because it was true, the sayings. The days are really dark, and God has to bring revival. He has to bring revival to revive the souls that are out there that are lost and dying. He needs you young people that are full of zeal. All right, so you were full of zeal for the devil, so God's cleaning you up, and now you're going to be full of zeal for the Lord, just like Paul was. You know, he was full of zeal killing the Christians, but once God got a hold of him, then he was full of zeal for God too. And this is what's happening right now in this dispensation. God is calling you people, you young people, all over the world, who were at one point was working for Satan, but now he's calling you to work for him, and you're going to do great and mighty works for the Father. Now, us older guys and the middle-aged guys, you're still going to be used too. But this really, this dispensation is for the younger generation. All right, you have 2 Samuel 24:15-17. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel from the morning till the appointed time, from Dan to Beersheba, 70,000 men of the people died. That's a lot of people, one day. And when the angel stretched out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the people, it is enough. Now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Arnon the Jebusite. Who was doing the destroying? Who was killing the people? An angel. instructions from God. Then in verse 17, then David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people and said, surely I have sinned and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, be against me and against my father's house. I want you to notice one thing there. David had sinned. He numbered the people. And God told him not to number the people. This one man sinned. But look how many men died. 70,000 men died because of one man's sin. Do you realize how many people you're killing because of your sin? If you have a family and you're sinning, all your family members are going to suffer because of your sin. You know, I'm not hurting nobody but myself. That's not true. You're hurting everybody around about you. Read it right there, what David did. You can read all through the Bible and you can find this. It all plays out the same way. The third thing, you have authority to loose the angels. Jesus gave us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Keys meaning authority. He said in Matthew 16:19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Many of us understand this to mean we are to bind the devil and his demons. To bind something means to tie it up, and we accomplish that by making a specific command with our words. You can see that in Mark 11:23-24. At the same time, Jesus also gave us the power to loose something. What then do we have the power to loose? We have the power to loose angels. We loose the angels the same way we bind demons, by using our words. We are charged with making known the will of God in the presence of the angels. And then you find that in Ephesians 3:10. Angels also listen for and obey the word of the Lord in Psalm 103:20. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. You know, as I was reading these scriptures, I thought, boy, I wish the children of God would do the same thing that the angels do. I wish the church would heed the words of God. I wish that the church would do the things that God tells us to do, just like the angels obey and do. The word of the Lord comes from Jesus himself in heaven or through his church on earth in the form of a prophetic word. God spoke prophetically quite a bit this evening. Our prophetic words are heard and observed by angels and will put them on assignment. I think that's very neat. When you get a prophetic word, the angels are listening and they are sent on assignment immediately to make that thing come to pass. But the enemy is also there listening and his demons are put on assignment to stop your prophetic word from coming to pass. So it's up to you who's going to win this little battle that's going on. You have to tell the devil, get out of here, devil. I'm going to allow my angel to work and bring this prophetic word to pass. We see this in the life of King David. He makes a command not only to all of creation, but also to the angels to praise the Lord in Psalm 148:1-2. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Everything is supposed to praise the Lord. And this is what God told me. He said, I want radical praise whenever you start the service tonight. I want my people to praise me and dance before me and shout victory. And that's what we did. We carried out God's instructions. But then we're always radical, right? Jacob wrestled with the angel all night and refused to let the angel go. Jacob made his command, I will not let you go until you bless me. And you know, then the angel took hold of Jacob's side and he walked with a limp all the days of his life. But he got blessed. Are you understanding this tonight? Then she said, during my first pregnancy, and I thought this was interesting what she said. During my first pregnancy, I became very ill in the middle of the night and couldn't hold anything down. An angel appeared, and I said, lay your hand on my stomach, and I will be healed. The angel did exactly that, and I was instantly well. So why aren't we spiritual enough to have our angel in our bedroom with us or anywhere in our house with us? And it can appear at any given time and heal us just like this angel did. There's something we're not a doing. Yeah, we're not doing. What we're not doing is I'm hearing this. What I'm hearing, God said, we're not abiding in His presence enough. We have to abide in the presence of the Lord more than what we are right now. I want each one of you to start making a choice to abide in the presence of the Father more than you were before you came in here tonight. Well, I'm abiding a lot. Well, then abide some more. Stay in His presence. Do you have an angel come in your room? She must have an angel come in her room. She about jumped out of her chair. All right, then you're abiding. All right? Think about it. Come on. This is to make you think. We're children of God. We have weapons of warfare that we're not using, and the angels are the biggest weapons that we can possibly call upon. We have the blood of Jesus. We have everything we need to defeat the enemy, but why is the church so defeated? If we're sitting in the presence of God like we say we are, then why are we so defeated? Why can the enemy come and turn our minds inside out? So you have to search your own heart daily. God, am I really who I say I am? Am I really totally and completely cleansed from inside out? You know, you might look good on the outside, but what's on the inside? You know, and you know, my prayer to God is clean me from the inside out. You know, I don't want the outside. I want the inside clean so that whatever comes out is pure and holy. And you have to do that every day, because every day the enemy is at you trying to get you pulled out of the will of the Father. Just like there are demons that afflict us with sickness, and you can see that in Luke 13:10-17, there will also be angels that act as healing agents to us. At the end of the day, however, all healing comes from God, and we are to credit Him for it. And we know that, right? Number four, angels will not depart from the Word of God. When working with angels, understand that they strictly uphold the Word of God. You can't say, hey, angel, go over there and get that man's wife for me. That doesn't work. Right? That doesn't work. To not do so would be rebellion with severe punishment. And that's in Jude 1:6. And it says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain. And I'm talking about the angels have to do only the will of the Father. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. We know that angels came down to heaven for a purpose, and we know that angels didn't do what they were supposed to do, and angels married us women, and now they're out of God's will, and they're going to be punished for that. Angels are punished just as well as anybody else. For example, Gabriel appeared to Zechariah the priest with a message from God. He told him he would have a son and to name him John. Zechariah did not believe the angel, and when he voiced his unbelief, Gabriel issued a temporary penalty. Zechariah could not physically speak until the birth of his son John, just as the angel foretold. See, Luke, you can see that in Luke chapter 1. Jesus exhorts us and solemnly warns us in regards to the angels. Now, if all of a sudden you can't speak, would you might just maybe believe that an angel come and struck you deaf? No, dumb. You might have done something you shouldn't have done, so the angel said, okay. Your angel might have said, okay, I'm going to show you who's boss here. This is all true. Your angels are on assignment. Why can't you believe about angels from heaven, but yet you believe about angels from hell? Because that's what the demons are. They're angels from hell coming to plague the people. We talk a lot about, we have a deliverance ministry, so we talk a lot about that. But, you know, why can't you, and you believe that, but why can't you believe about God's angels, His holy angels that are sent on assignment to take care of your needs? God says, enter into my rest. Isn't that what He says? He says, and I'll fight your battles for you. How's He going to fight your battles? He fights your battles with the angels come and they fight your battles for you. And we enter into God's rest. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm fighting a battle continually, I don't hear God's voice as well. Because we're so busy fighting the battles around about us that our mind only hears what's going on around about us. So we have to keep our minds stayed upon Christ. And we have to allow God to fight our battles for us. Doesn't matter what the battle is, we have to allow God fight it. It could even be your own emotions. And you've worked on your emotions and worked on your emotions, worked on your emotions, and your emotions are still your emotions. So you have to say, all right, God, send an angel to work on my emotions, because I'm so caught up in this thing that I can't hear your voice and get direction from you to what you want me to do. All right? Jesus exhorts us and solemnly warns us in regards to the angels in Luke 12:8-9. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man, will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. Before who? The angels of God. Let's read that again. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. He says, okay, angels, that's one of my people, right? But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. God said, okay, angels, that's not one of ours. You don't have to go and help them. All right? He's saying that if we deny him, if we deny his word, which is the same as denying him, the angels will not work with us. Instead, we need to be like Mary. When Gabriel appeared to her to announce she would become pregnant and give birth to the Son of God, she responded well in Luke 1:38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. How God wishes that every one of us in here would be just like Mary. When he comes, and when an angel comes to us and tells us something, that we would say, whatever you say, Father, and let it go at that. And then whatever he says, let it happen. Amen. You know, they say God's everywhere. Well, how is God everywhere? It's his angels that are everywhere, and the angels come back reporting all the time to God. God's everywhere because he sends his angels out, and they come and report back to him what's going on. With all these catastrophes that are happening, who do you think's doing this? It's the angels of God. God's warning America, get yourself together. And you know, even in your own home, I'm sorry, guys, but this is the absolute truth. Even in your own home, if you're not going to line up with the word of God, God's going to send an angel in there to stir up some dirty water. And he's going to tell you, get yourselves together, because what you're doing is not glorifying me at all. Amen. You wonder, how come all this strife and anxiety started? Well, the reason why it started was because God sent an angel. Said, you know, enough is enough. Now I've got to get your attention. You've got to get it together. Working with angels within biblical perimeters is not the same as worshiping angels or praying to angels. They are here to help. We don't worship or pray to angels at all, so don't ever do that. We can now be more intentional with angels, knowing we will not deny God his glory when we do. You know, and I'm asking God right now to open up everyone's spiritual eyes in here so you can see the angels of God. When I was first born again back in 1977, the first thing God showed me was my angel. Who was it, honey? Michael is my guardian angel. You know, I was in the prayer room and I was praying, and all of a sudden, you know, I saw this big angel standing on top of a mountain. You know, they had them little skirts on that they wear, you know, but he was all dressed in armor. And I said, God, who is it? And he said, that's Michael. I've sent him to protect you. So I feel like I'm a very privileged person. You know, and so I always know that I have Michael there working on my behalf, doing the work for me. And I also know that any time that one of my children are in danger and God will prompt me to pray for them, the first thing I do is say, God, I want the biggest angel that's out there in your kingdom. And I want that biggest angel to go there and keep them safe. And every time I find out that that whoever I'm praying for was in danger, but it did not touch them. So if you want to protect your family, if you want to protect, even if they're out there in drugs, mine are out there in drugs, even if they're out there in drugs, send the angels to keep them safe. Don't get your little pious self going and say, well, they deserve whatever they get. No, they don't. No, they don't. They can't even help themselves because they're so drugged up. What they deserve is the love of God. What they deserve is the protection of God. And what they deserve is your unconditional love to them. You want God to unconditionally love you, do you not? Then you need to, we are supposed to unconditionally love anybody that we know that's bound up. We're supposed to unconditionally love them. You also know that, I forgot who it was that went to heaven. They didn't die, they just went to heaven. And God said, whenever you stand before God, the first question he's going to ask you is, did you learn to love? And if we can't have unconditional love for the down and outer, then we cannot be one of God's children. It's just that simple. Or even somebody you've been married to and they've really hurt you. Well, God, you know how bad they hurt me. God knows everything that went on, but he says you have to forgive. You have to forgive and forget. Unconditional love. And that's really not a hard thing to do if you're really walking in the Spirit. But if you're not walking in the Spirit, continuing is a very hard thing to do. Because it's only through God that you can forgive. It's only through God that you can face that person and laugh and joke and even have dinner with them. I didn't say remarry them. I said just laugh and joke and have dinner with them. You don't even have to have dinner. But at least you won't walk to the other side of the street whenever you see them coming down the road. You'll go by and say hi. Because you have unconditional love. And you've learned that God unconditionally loves you. Because after all, you guys, we all know that we are not always the best things in the world. We can be pretty ugly at times. And we want God to love us even through our ugliness, do we not? Well, then why can't you love somebody else through their ugliness? And each one of you in here can say yes and amen to this. Right now the world is pretty ugly. People in the world are pretty ugly. And the things that are going on are just absolutely horrible. But God says love. Turn the other cheek. One time I said, God, I don't have a cheek left. How many of you thought that too? You and the person has come against you and come against you and just keep turning the other cheek. Say, it's okay, it's okay. And finally, you know, I said, God, I don't have another cheek left. He said, yes, you do. You know, he doesn't let me get away with nothing. And you see, well, God, the assignment you gave me is too hard. No, it isn't. He said, I told him, I said, I just can't do the assignment. It's too hard. He said, yes, you can. You just don't want to. And you know, face yourself. You just don't want to. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross either, but he did. So whatever assignment God's sending you on, and you feel like that you can't do it, it's really you can do it because he never puts on you more than you can bear. It's you don't want to do it. Then think about Jesus when he went to the cross for you. I don't know anybody in their right mind that would want to go through what he went through, but he went through it for you and I. I learned early on when I was first born, I always went to church, but then I got born again in 77. I learned right then and there that Jesus died just for me. I don't know what I did for the rest of you. See, what I'm saying is you have to make it personal. Jesus hung on that cross just for me. He bore all that pain just for me. I was the only one he could see at the time he was doing all that. And if you can get that down in your spirit, you'll really learn to love the Father. He did everything just for you. Of course, we know he did it for all the rest of the world, but he did it just for you. Make it a personal thing. Jesus suffered immensely just for you. And we as children of God, we don't want to suffer, do we? But the Bible tells us if we follow Christ, we're going to continually suffer. In other words, we're going to go through one trial after another. So if you really want to be a child of God, get prepared to suffer. When I was first born again, I went to my pastor and said, God said that I was born to suffer. She said, you shut your mouth. Don't ever repeat that. Christians don't suffer. Well, I went home really got devastated because I thought I did something wrong. But then God said, get into my word. And see, I'm like all the rest of the people. I just carried a Bible and listened to what everybody else said. I never read it. And he said, get in the Bible, turn to this and this and this. And when I went in there, it told me that if I was a true child of God, I was going to suffer for the sake of Christ. And the more you're suffering, you ought to rejoice because that means that that's how strong your anointing is and that's how strong your calling is. Now, if you weren't going to do any harm to the devil, he would leave you alone even though you was born again. He wouldn't bother you in the least. But because you are born again and because you're going to tear down his kingdom, he's going to come at you with all of hell. And I'm telling you, he's ferocious and he's relentless. He just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. And about the time you get over one little episode, here he comes with another, then another, then another. So if you're here tonight and you're trying to decide whether or not you want to follow Jesus, don't let that discourage you. Let that get you excited. Because everybody that accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior likes a good fight. You like a good fight. And that's just why God called you, because he knows that you're a warrior and that you're willing to fight for him. The Bible says a righteous man falls down seven times, but seven times he gets back up again. What I'm saying there is you will get discouraged. and you will want to sit down and quit. But there's just something inside of you that says, no, I can't do that. I can't give the devil any satisfaction whatsoever. And you get back up, and when you get back up, you're madder than you were when he put you down. And you keep on going. Amen? Come on. How many of you in here tonight are just really sold out to God, and you want to be even sold out more to God than what you were before you came in here? That you want everything that God has for you. Whenever you walk down the street, you want to be like Peter, where your shadow just heals the people as you go. Because that is what's going to happen, you know. God says there's a great revelation that he wants to drop into you people in here tonight, too. You don't quite understand his word the way you ought, but he's going to give you great revelation tonight. He's saying the altar. See, I have to listen to what God wants to do. He's saying the altar's open. For all of you who know you have a calling upon your life, you don't know quite what it is yet. You think you do, but yet you don't quite know what it is. But you want a deeper revelation of what God's calling you to do, and you want to be a greater impact to the world than what you are.